You're listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
Well, hello, how are you? This is Simon again with another quick tip for better fundraising, in which we try and focus on one area of your fundraising, give real practical tips, step-by-step guides to make you a better fundraiser. Before we start, I want to give a big shout out to my friend Sarah at the Alzheimer's Society of Nova Scotia and to her team, if you're listening. Thanks for listening. I also want to give a big shout out to Jen Love, Agent Jen Love, who recently had her birthday and is the muse for this episode. Because really what we're doing here is we're following up and summarizing on my last podcast, which was a wonderful, amazing interview with Jen Love. If you haven't heard it yet, I'll put a link in the description. I really recommend you go back and take the time and listen to all the amazing things that Jen says. But a happy birthday to Jen. I hope I look as great and am still as productive when I am her age in some time. So the tip that I want to talk to you today about is this idea of gathering stories, about interviewing our organization's beneficiaries and those around us, and about how we can make it a habit and block out some time to actually talk to these people. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, this isn't fundraising. I've stumbled onto the wrong podcast. No, this is a fundraising podcast. And to be a great fundraiser, we have to take part in these interviews, these conversations, talking to the people that our organization works with to be better fundraisers, to actually write the stories, write the copy, write the appeals, to do everything we do in fundraising. If we don't have these stories, if we don't have these conversations, we have nothing. We have nothing when we approach individuals and when we approach corporates. Someone once said it wonderfully to me. They said, if you're not speaking to the people on the front line and the beneficiaries, it's like you're a sports writer who's not even watching the games that you're writing about. And so really what I want to talk to you today about is about blocking out at least an hour a week. And some of my clients, when we put together the strategies, I talk about at least half a day a week, putting aside time to sit down with beneficiaries, with those surrounding the beneficiaries, so that we can gather these stories. It might feel like a time suck because there's not an ask in there, but what it's going to do is it's going to save you time in writing your appeals. So instead of you sitting in front of a blank piece of paper, trying to come up with a way to describe the work that your organization does, what you have is you have great stories, great testimonials, great quotes from the actual people who do the work and benefit from the work. So what we want to do is try and find some time to sit down with them. We want to be asking them open questions. So ideally not yes or no questions. Jen Love has great sample questions, which she's put out. She put out in the podcast. She publishes things like this. So four of the easiest questions that she taught me, which work really well when you're talking to beneficiaries, are things like, what was your life like before you connected with us? Tell me about a particular person you remember helping you and how it made you feel. How is your life different today because of the organization or that person? And what would you say to supporters of our cause? And really just sitting down with a beneficiary, carving out time to sit down with a beneficiary and asking those four questions, you're going to start to see them open up over time and share some really, really beautiful, wonderful stuff, which you can essentially copy and paste. You can lift straight out and drop it into your appeals, drop it into your social media, share it with your corporate partners, share it in your stewardship programs. And these are really going to be engaging because remember, what we're trying to do as fundraisers is connect donors, connect supporters with the beneficiaries. And there's no better way to do that than lifting these types of quotes. So find questions like these, like the ones Jen has provided. Find your own voice and what you're comfortable with talking to them and just have a conversation. You know, we don't want to be too interviewee, but a conversation where they're actually going to start to open up and talk to them. We want to respect our beneficiaries in this. So think about the medium that you're going to do this. Ideally, we're going to be chatting to them. And in a perfect world, you might even be able to video record their answers because video is a great way to share the work they're doing. Remember, you know, your best fundraising is probably going to be putting a beneficiary in front of a potential donor. We can't always do that. So if you can put a video in front of them, that's probably second best. If we're not able to video our beneficiaries, and many of these organizations, we're not able to do it because of, because it's just not appropriate. You might look at audio recordings. You might look at ways of recording your beneficiaries with their permission. We might look at actually just taking the written word. If your beneficiaries are comfortable writing themselves, this can work really well for them to actually sit down and write. That's how some people prefer to express themselves. If they're handwritten stories, if they're handwritten elements coming from our beneficiaries, these are great to share. Some of our service users and beneficiaries are going to be more comfortable writing poems, making drawings. What we need to do is respect their medium. So any way our beneficiaries want to express themselves, any way our beneficiaries want to share their story, we want to support them in doing that. Try and capture that. And then essentially we're building up this story bank, this book of these interviews, this book of these experiences that people have shared with us. And we can draw upon those for our interviews, for our appeals, for our stewardship, for everything like that. Now, on top of your beneficiaries, or even instead of your beneficiaries, if you don't have access to them, is you might actually talk to those around them. So you might actually talk to the project workers, the frontline staff who are doing it, and they can form part of the process. They might be the ones who are doing interviews with the beneficiaries themselves and pulling the stories from them, and you might be then pulling them from the project workers and service staff. So in that hour a week or that half day a week where you're setting up meetings, setting up sit downs, you know, over a cup of tea with these people, try and put some time aside for not just the beneficiaries, but also the frontline staff and the service staff. You could also try and work in ways that you can have a steady stream of these coming in without actually sitting down and talking to them. So think about perhaps a testimonial book in the waiting room. Think about any forms that people in your organizations are filling out. And is it possible to work in a point in there where you start to ask them questions and ask them to share their stories? You know, push it out in your social media, push it out in your mailing list, because some of your service users and beneficiaries are going to be following those. So can we actually ask for stories that people can share anonymously or with their names that we can then use for a fundraising or marketing person? Beyond our beneficiaries and the project workers and frontline staff, think about who else we might interview. We can interview staff who are not immediately obvious. Sometimes the receptionist can be a great member of staff to interview because they're the ones who's fielding the calls from vulnerable people. They might be the first point of contact. They're hearing people hang up because they don't have the courage or the nerve at that point to follow on with the conversation. They might have those stories of people who are coming and going, and they might have something really powerful that they can share with you. Your board members and other volunteers, trustees, people who shake buckets, all these people have their own stories. They have their own reasons for getting involved. They've had their own experience in their day-to-day interaction with you. And so just by sitting down and having a reasonably informal chat with them over a cup of tea or coffee, they're going to start to share, I guarantee they're going to start to share really interesting anecdotes, stories, quotes, opinions that we can start to work into our newsletters, appeals, any kind of communications. On top of that, we can actually talk to donors and interview donors. And Jen Love in our interview talks a lot about this, about how donors share some great experiences that we can then use as almost social proof for other potential donors that we're trying to recruit. Think about when you're trying to cross a street and there's lots of traffic coming and no one wants to cross that street. When you take that first step out there and start to cross the street, people are like sheep. They start to follow that. They start to follow that trend. It's this idea of social proof. And if we can show people who are talking about writing your organization into their will, talking about making that major gift, talking about signing up to become a monthly donor and what it meant to them, this is a really powerful way for us to get other people in. Jen shares all sorts of questions that we can ask our donors. Things like, tell me about when you first realized you had such a strong love for this stuff. Who are the people who've been an important influence in your passion? What would you say to other people about why you give to your organization and how it makes you feel? Again, tapping into that, it's going to resonate with some people who read it or hear it or see it. It's going to resonate it and they're going to think, yeah, I'm like that person. And it's going to encourage them to take that next step to do. So we want to repeat this. We want to build a habit of this. Find that hour a week, find that half day a week, whatever you can. It needs to be a habit. It needs to be locked in your calendar and make it part of your fundraising strategy that you're sitting down with people, you're sitting down with them repeatedly, you're sitting down with various people, whether they're beneficiaries, frontline staff, your CEO, your board, your volunteers, your donors. You are carving out time to ask them questions, to chat with them, and take note of their stories so that we can incorporate them into our appeals. That is fundraising. It doesn't feel like asking for money. It doesn't feel like conventional fundraising. Your board, your CEO, your boss might question, you know, why are you spending this time doing this? But it builds your copy. It builds your appeals. We have to do it to understand the work we're doing. Remember, I always say, us as fundraisers, we are a bridge. We are a bridge between the donors and the beneficiaries. So most of our job is capturing that information from the frontline staff, from the beneficiaries, from that area, and feeding it across, being the bridge, being the vessel that brings it across to donors, fundraisers, potential donors, corporates. And so we have to do it. Gathering these stories is our role as a fundraiser, and we have to do it. Listen to the podcast with Jen. Try out some of these questions with the staff around you. But most of all, make sure you make that time. Make sure you make that time to make a cup of tea, sit down with them, win them over, gain their trust over time, and have them coming to you with these stories. Have them sharing these anecdotes with you. And it's going to make your fundraising so, so much easier. Right. That's it again for another week. Check out the links that I provided in the description of this podcast. Tune in for our next episode on Thursday, which is another longer chat with another expert in fundraising. This week, I think we're talking about databases. I have to just check the schedule. But do send in any questions or topics you want me to cover on this. My email address is simon@changefundraising.com. Find me on Twitter @ToastFundraiser. And that's pretty much everywhere I am at the moment. But please get in touch and let's cover an area that we can, that's going to be of use to you. Let's give some quick tips. Let's become better fundraisers together.
You've been listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more or get in touch with Simon. Or don't, whatever, you're big enough to make your own decisions.
Hello, this is Morgan Freeman. For discounts on Simon's best-selling online fundraising courses, go to www.changefundraising.com/training and use coupon code podcast. Complete them in your own time, wherever you want. Get busy living or get busy buying.